الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا وقال نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا هريرة اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected and beloved ulama kiram, elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan from his birth completely, totally self-sufficient. Allah ta'ala has made it such that as insan progresses through the various stages of life, he is not in need of acquiring a third eye. He is not in need of acquiring a third arm. He is not in need of acquiring something else. Rather, insan has been created in such a position that whatever he needs for the rest of his life, to live a kamil and aksal, to live a perfect life, Allah Ta'ala has given that insan that gift right from his very birth. And as insan progresses through the various stages of life, then he begins to learn to use these various gifts Allah Ta'ala has gifted him with. So in the beginning, we find that a baby is completely and totally muhtaj and dependent upon his mother. He cannot sit by himself, he cannot walk, cannot eat, has no ability to communicate. Allah Ta'ala has created him completely and totally in need. And thereafter, a little bit of time passes and he begins to learn how to use his eyes. He begins to learn how to use his hand. He begins to learn how to use his voice to cry out. He begins to change the pitch of his cry. That when he is hungry, he cries in one way. And when he just, for no other reason, wants the attention of his mother, he cries in another way. And like this, Allah Ta'ala makes it that as we progress, then our very body adapts to the environment that we are in. If we are born in a cold region, then we learn to understand and how to adapt to the cold. If we are born in the heat, we learn how to adapt to the heat. And likewise, alhamdulillah, insan progresses. And utilizing these various skills, he moves his way throughout life. However, sad is that individual. And perhaps worse than sad, most misfortunate is in that individual, who is in the depth of misfortune. That person who simply thinks that his ability to use his external sources or his external limbs, this is enough for him. Rather, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that our eyes progress and our eye develops, that our hands progress and our strength develops, that our legs progress and its strength develops, likewise Allah ta'ala has made an internal component as well. And that internal component is not only the ability for the eye to see what is around it, but it's also for the eye to perceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in recalling insan's ability, Allah ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just made insan sami', that insan is able to listen. Even animals are able to listen. What is the distinction of insan? Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that Allah has made insan sami'. And Allah ta'ala has not just made insan basir, that insan is able to see. We see even the most small and the most insignificant of insects are able to see. Rather, Allah ta'ala has made it such that insan is basir, that he is able to see that which is internal, and he is able to understand that which is external as well. And when insan puts these two components, the internal and the external, the zahir and the batin, when he puts them together, then and only then do we see that insan progresses. And this ability to see, this ability to perceive, it comes in various forms and at various stages. Perhaps one of the most important is insan's ability to see how one moment can distinguish itself from another moment. How one moment can distinguish itself from another moment. We regard every single second of our life to be the same. This Jumu'ah, many of us regard it as the same as last Jumu'ah. And inshallah the next Jumu'ah that is to come. When in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has extended His hand, كَمَا يَلِيقُ لِجَلَالِهِ, as befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has extended His hand of mercy for us one more time. Another option for us to turn back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another option for us, and another action for us to seize this opportunity, to seize this moment and to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had this ability of being able to perceive this. And this was not something that came innately. This came with the suhbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ayat kareema that was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recalls the event in which during the sulah of Hudaybiyah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were encamped on the borders of Makkatul Mukarram. And sometimes when we read the seerah devoid of any life. We read the seerah devoid of any emotion. We must understand that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were expelled from their own city. And they were not just the regular citizens, people who had no connection with that town, except for the fact that they owned some property there. But they were those individuals whose forefathers hailed from that area. And they were the most ashraful makhluq, they were the most honorable of all society. And in the face of that honor, and we have seen recently, events like this throughout the world have unfurled, that somebody may have money, he may have power, he may have ability, but that money, that power, ability is useless for him. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were expelled from their most beloved city. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing Makkatul Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Makkah, if your people had not pushed me out, I would have never left you. If your people had not pushed me out, I would have never left you. But despite the fact that this was such a position, Allah ta'ala had made it such that the Sahaba had to leave Makkah. And with great hopes, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wahi had come and the dream had come that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing Umrah, that the doors for entrance into Makkah had opened once again. The ayat, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, the beginning of Surah Al-Fath, it had been revealed. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum made their way to Makkah Mukarrama, essentially to face their enemy. But they were in the state of ihram, they were not armed. And they went in such a way that they had ummid, they had hope that they would enter. On the outskirts of the city they were held back. And envoy after envoy, ambassador after ambassador met with them. And yet no contract, no sulah, no agreement was signed. Then finally Uthman radiallahu anhum from the side of the Muslims was sent inside. And the nasty rumor was spread that Uthman radiallahu anhum was assassinated. And it was that moment that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum understood. It was that moment that the basira gave power to. And at that time Allah ta'ala recalling the incident says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايَعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descended upon the Sahaba when they took bay'ah on the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underneath that most mubarak tree. Think of the power of that tree, that it was that tree that shaded Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايَعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of insan and the creator of the temperament of insan. Allah ta'ala not only knowing insan, but Allah knows the condition of insan at that time. That with what hope, with what ummid, with what desire we have come back. That perhaps we will be able to see the Kaaba Sharif once again. And we find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, even in Madinatul Munawwara, they would sing their lament that only they could see Mecca again. Ya layta shi'ri hal abitanna bi laylatan. Ya layta shi'ri hal abitanna laylatan. Bilal radiallahu anhu would sing, if only I could spend one night bi wadin wa hawli idkhari wa jaleel, that around me I would be around the various types of grass of Mecca. If only I could spend one night in Makkatul Mukarramah. And we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was very emotional and with a desire to enter. Despite that fact, Allah ta'ala made it such that they were sealed, they were barred from entry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah ta'ala's divine contentment fell upon their heart. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Allah ta'ala's contentment filled their heart. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassured them that victory is close at hand. And within a few countable days, Allah Ta'ala made it such that not only did they enter Makkah Mukarramah to perform Umrah, but rather they entered Makkah Mukarramah and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the Fatih of Makkah Mukarramah. That it came into the hands of the Muslims once again. So we see that the reality of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was that they were able to perceive those moments of distinction. Those moments by which if they would stay calm and if they would rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they would be able to utilize those moments and upon them the mercy of Allah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would descend. In one riwayah it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address the people of Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them that, O people of Jannah, should I not bestow upon you one additional favor? And the people of Jannah will address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala make us from amongst them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then after addressing the people will address Allah. And they will say, Ya Allah, what other ni'mat is there? That we have, forget the ni'mat, we have the mun'im. Allama Ushi rahimahullah mentions that there will be people who فَيَنْثَوْنَ النَّعِيمَ إِذَا رَأَوْهُ فَيَا خُسْرَانَ أَهْلِ اعْتِذَالِ. That when being in Jannah, you will forget the na'im, you will forget the gifts of Jannah, because we will be engaged with the mun'im, we will be engaged with the gift giver, Allah Ta'ala Himself. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, addressing the people of Jannah, will ask, is there nothing else that I can give you? The people will say, what is this, Ya Allah? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say, that my rida, my pleasure will now descend upon you forever. And these Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa arda, in the plains of Makkah Mukarramah, in the sweltering heat, under the shade of one small tree, they had attained that maqam. They had attained that position, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure descended upon them. So it was that ability to grasp and to understand those individual moments that made the Sahaba radiallahu anhum distinguished from all others. And they obtained this ability through the suhbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And throughout history we find that the record of students in the companionship with their asatiza, in the companionship with their mashayikh, how they have also attained this position of being able to recognize and being able to distinguish that which is separate from one another. In perhaps one of the most notable records we find that the great imam of his time, Imam Shaqiq Balkhi rahimahullah, and the separation of Imam Shaqiq Balkhi rahimahullah from his student Imam Hatim al-Asam. So after spending 33 years in the companionship of his sheikh, the student Hatim al-Asam asked ijazah from his sheikh. He said, do I now have ijazah to leave? Do I now have ijazah to travel? Just as we qualify from the madrasa, or perhaps a person spends a chilla with their sheikh, thereafter they desire to return back to their land, they desire to go back to their home, and start this khidmat of deen, and start to spread the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, start to invite others towards Allah and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the mubarak sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that Imam Hatim al-Asam had asked ijazah from his ustad, that is it permissible now that I can leave? So we find that Shaqiq Balkhi rahimahullah, he asked him, he said, how many years have you spent in my companionship? He said, 33 years. 33 years. For us, we cannot even fathom spending so much time in madrasa. Some students, perhaps, they would faint if they were to hear that they have to spend 33 years in madrasa. But imagine 33 years in the companionship of the sheikh. And that person who understands the value of the sheikh, then he will regard 33 years as not being enough. He will regard 33 years as not being enough. But once again, in order to regard that, and in order to see that, we cannot see with the external eye. We have to see not only with our basara, but with our basira. We have to see with the eye of our heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such an opportunity, let us avail it. So we find that the student said that I have remained in your company, O my beloved Hazrat, for 33 years. He says, after 33 years, here is the test, here is the final exam. What have you learned? What have you learned in 33 years? Now the answer, perhaps if we were in that situation, we could write out multiple maqalat. That in each year, under each kitab we learn this. In Ula we learn this. In Thaniya we learn this. Up to Mishkaf we learn this. In Dora we learn this. We could write multiple things. But how was it? Imam Hatim al-Asam said, Ya Ustad, I learned in the period of 33 years, I have acquired 8 pieces of information. 8 things. And they were honest in their request. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they would come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one Sahabi said, "Izni wa awjiz ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me wa'ad, but make it mukhtasar." Not because they were not desirous of hearing the kalam of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather such they could implement it and bring that a'mal into their own life. And this is the concept that when we hear the Jumu'ah khutbah, we should not regard it as simply a rasam of Jumu'ah. That it's a practice of Jumu'ah throughout the Muslim world, that on Friday at a particular time in the maqam of salah of Jumu'ah of Zuhr, people gather and they hear a bayan. But rather we should regard it as an opportunity that Allah Ta'ala has extended His hand of karam to once again invite us back. That 6 days, 7 days have passed, and we have spent our lives in total ghafla, heedless from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disconnected from Allah, drowning in the seas of ghafla, and now we have an opportunity to connect back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again. So he said that in 33 years we have learned 8 things. The shaykh, when hearing this, he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." He said, "Behrehal, tell me, what are these 8 things that you learned?" And wallahi, my beloved brothers, if one of these 8 we were to implement into our life, then we will see that there will be immediate change. If we were to implement one of these 8 into our life, we will see that there will be immediate change. He said, the very first thing is that I have seen that throughout the entirety of mankind, every human has made something his beloved. Something or other is beloved to insan. Whether it be his own car, whether it be his name, whether it be his fame, whether it be his wealth, whether it be his family. But there is every single human has something that is beloved to him. And even the most dry of people, those people who don't exhibit any love, then even within the depths of their heart, they also have something that is beloved to them. So he says that I have made that thing which is the most beloved to me. I have made the most beloved thing to me my a'mal salih. And he said the reason why is because that I have seen that every single person must part from that thing which is beloved to them. There will come a time in which their beloved will leave them, or they will leave their beloved. And this is the haqiqat of our dunya. Every single thing that we have made mahbub to us, everything that is beloved to us, everything that is the apple of our eye, there will come a time when we will leave it or it will separate us. And if we have made that the most beloved thing to us, then where will we go after? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the muhabba and the ta'alluq between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no relationship between any shaykh and murid, between any ustad and any shagir, between any two people that can rival the muhabbat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if I were to have to take a friend, لَتَّخَدْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا, I would have taken Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as my companion, as my friend. But my Allah is sufficient for me. But my Allah is enough for me. So we must ask ourselves now, in the depths of our heart, what is that thing that we have made mahbub? What is that thing that is the most beloved to us? What is that thing that is the apple of our eye? What is that thing that encapsulates our attention and drives us? And if it is anything other than our a'mal salihah, if it is anything other than those things which will link us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we must understand that there will come a day where we will separate from it, or it will separate from us. And at this separation, my beloved brothers, then no matter how much we cry, no matter how much we tear, no matter how much we throw our heads down on the ground, it won't be enough. It will never recoup. So we must understand that the only way by which we can make anything worthwhile is that we make that which is the most beloved to us, we make it our a'mal salih. Understanding this, we must understand that not only should a'mal salih be most beloved, but our ability, as we mentioned, to perceive that which is real from that which is not real. Dr. Abdul Haythab Arifi rahimahullah, when describing the Khanqah of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he would say that people would come to the Khanqah of Hazrat Thanvi for their islah. Like we have come here for our islah. Whether we know it bazubani hal or bazubani maqal, whether we say it outwardly or it is our reality, this is our condition. That a person studies for one reason, that he studies to make himself reform. He studies in such a way that his eyes, his ears, his brain, his heart comes into such a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him. Or a person has come to visit for the islahi jalsa, or a person has simply come to pray Jumu'ah. But in all conditions, a person has come to his for his own rectification, whether he understands it or not. But fortunate is that person who not only understands it, but makes amal on it and acts upon it. So we understand that our ability to distinguish between that which is real and that which is not real is the most important thing for us. This is what we should make beloved. This is what is meant to make our amal salihah beloved. As I was mentioning, it was mentioned that Dr. Shahab said that in the Khanqah of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, the first question that people would be asked when they would enter, the first question is that, do you know, are you aware of understanding what is maqsood and what is ghair maqsood? What in your life is real? What is substantive? What has value and what doesn't? And we will see that the reason why people, and myself most unfortunately, myself more than anyone, the reason why people make those things beloved to them that are not worthy of their love, is because they have not been able to distinguish, they have not been able to understand, they have not been able to see the difference between those things which are maqsood and those things which are ghair maqsood. Those things which are truly sought after and those things which are not sought after. It is only those things that are sought after. It is only those things that are our goal. It is only those things that have value that we should make beloved into our life. And every other thing, every other matter that is ghair maqsood, remove it from your life. We must understand that one single step, Ghaliban, I think it was Maulana Isa Sahab who mentioned this, one single step towards the ghair maqsood, one single step towards the away from your objective, is in reality 1,000 steps away from your objective. One single step towards that thing that is of no value in your life. And we see people arguing, we see people debating, we see people falling in love with those things that have absolutely no value in their life. They know that it has no haqiqat, but they have adorned these things. People are engaged in political discourse. People are engaged in these things and that things that have absolutely no effect. We will find that people will talk about sports, that they will talk about entertainment, that they will talk about these things that are nothing but lahu. And not only that these things have no effect, they also have no control over these things. It's not that you play on the team, that fine, you talk about sports, you play on the team, therefore you can influence the outcome. That person who is playing doesn't even know you exist. This political figure that we are so concerned about, he doesn't even know you exist. People who are worried that there is some lobby who is against the Muslim, they don't even know we exist. In reality, if we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have everything. Agar tu mera, tu sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Oh Allah, if you are mine, then everything is mine, the earth is mine, the sky is mine. So the ability for a person to distinguish that which is maqsood and that which is not maqsood, this is the greatest gift that a person can be given. And this gift is that ability for a person to be able to use his own body parts, to use his hands, to use his eyes, to use his thoughts, to use his heart in that way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed, and that way Allah ta'ala has mandated upon us. And the only way, my beloved brothers, by which we can obtain this, the way from the time in memoriam, the way from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that this was given, that was this was disseminated, was through the concept of suhbat. That when we sit in the concept of those people who can cater, who can teach us, who can, just as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum sat in the suhbah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then like that we will also be able to make our eyes an eye that Allah ta'ala is pleased with. Our hands a hand that Allah ta'ala is pleased with. Our heart a heart that Allah ta'ala is pleased with. So that is why, and when entrance into the Khanqah of Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi was dependent upon this one question. Do you know what is maqsood and do you know what is ghair maqsood? And the second the person would be able to answer that question, Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi would then give them one bit of advice. Who later on, many of his khulafa have called this ruh al-suluk. This is the ruh of the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say that on this path, wusool maqsood nahi hai. On this path, wusool maqsood nahi hai. Reaching the end goal. Reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reaching the end goal. This is not maqsood. Rather, what is maqsood? Talab maqsood. To remain on the path. What we have heard from our Hazrat time and time again, apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. To think of yourself as being pious, this is haram. And to become pious, this is in reality fard. To think of ourselves as being pious. So to think of ourselves as having reached that station where we have reached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where now we think there is no one like us. Where now we think that we are the greatest kutub of the zamana. We are the sheikh of the zamana. Now the sharia is not lagu upon us. The sharia doesn't fall upon us. We are independent of that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is in reality dhalal. And when a person understands that I have to continue trying, I have to continue striving, I have to continue to live my life, I can never be complacent for even one moment, then he will have reached that position in which he will be able to distinguish that which is maqsood from that which is ghair maqsood. And once we understand which is maqsood, what is maqsood, that which is sought after, then we will be able to make that maqsood thing our mahbub thing, our beloved thing. And that maqsood thing, my beloved brothers, is only one thing, that is Allah, and those things that lead towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those things that lead towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recall our Hazrat Damat Barakatuh Mula Aliya was once mentioning that Hazrat Wala rahmatullah alayh and some khulafa had gathered. And they were looking upon some natural mantar, perhaps it was some river or ocean or something of natural beauty. And Hazrat Wala rahmatullah alayh asked each and every single person, what do you see? What is your thought upon seeing? And at that time some ash'ar came upon Hazrat and he said that nahi khatm hoti hai mojiz nahi khatm hoti khair inshallah Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remember, but the oceans of your remembrance never come to an end, the waves of your remembrance never come to an end, mere bahr gham ka kinara nahi hai, and in this love that I have with you, ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no end to it. That these oceans that are in front of us, they will come to an end. The beauty of them will one day come to an end. The most natural manzar that we see, whether it be the most beautiful mountains, whether it be the most beautiful ocean, whatever it may be, whether it be the face of our spouse, at the end of the day, one day it will come to an end. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never come to an end. The kalam of the might of Allah and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never come to an end. كل يوم هو في شأن. Every split second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in a new splendor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in a new light. Allah ta'ala is in a new jamal. So why should we make anything, my beloved brothers, beloved to us other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we have chosen anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is only to our own detriment. And we must remove the love of that from our heart. And the removing of the love from that in our heart is simple. What do we do? Simply instill the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And automatically the love of ghayrullah will come out. If we have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within our heart, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ghayrullah will come out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala says that, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wazkur isma rabbik, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, watabattal ilayhi tabtila. Here Allah ta'ala made this hukam muttasil. Allah ta'ala brought both of these ahkam, these rulings, and made them connected. That take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as soon as you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything that distances you from Allah, you must remove it from your life. So that thing which is most beloved to us, my beloved brothers, can be nothing other than those things that connect us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala. These things must be the most beloved things to us. If somebody were to offer you wealth, if someone were to offer you position, if someone were to offer you power, and it comes at the exchange of the loss of Allah Ta'ala, at the loss of the ta'alluq and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then understand that the value of that is nothing. And the value of having Allah Ta'ala is everything. Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi was one day walking with Mufti Shafi Sahib, and in the middle of their conversation, as walking, Hazrat Thani stopped. He pulled out a piece of paper, he wrote something down, he put it in his pocket, he continued to walk. He asked Mufti Shafi Sahib, he said, Mufti Sahib, aapko kuch idea hai? Do you know why I did this? Mufti Sahib said, Hazrat, I'm not aware why you stopped. He says that one mas'ala was consistently bothering me, one particular issue, one fiqh issue was bothering me, and I did not want it to consume my heart. So I wrote it down on a piece of paper and I kept it to a side, and I keep my heart exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our haqiqah. And this is not something that is unattainable, my beloved brothers. But it will only be attainable. Many of us hear these waqiyat, and mashallah, we feel inspired. We feel that that's amazing. But when we think that it's mahmood, but it's not matloob, it's not something that is sought after. And it's not something that we can attain. It is possible to attain. But the only way that we can obtain it is that we understand the very fursa, the very opportunity that we have been given. So to understand, once again to recall back to the point, that he asked him, what was those 8 things that you learned? Number one, he said, that every single person has made something beloved to himself. I have made my a'mal salihah. Yani those steps that connect me back to Allah Ta'ala, I have made them the most beloved thing to me. He said, very well, carry on. What is the second thing? He says, the second thing is that I have seen that every single person in this dunya is in competition with somebody else. Every single person is in competition with something else. And what are they in competition with? They are in competition with who is going to win out. Who will achieve this goal? Who will reach the end goal first? He says that I have made myself in such a way that I have made my nafs, I have broken my nafs. And I have made that end goal once again my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That where will I attain first? It will be my Allah. And we must ask ourselves in our life, what is our goal? One thing is that we love Allah and we make Allah our most beloved thing. But the second thing is that what is our goal? How are we trying to live our life? What is the perspective and the end outcome and the objective of our existence? And if our existence, the end outcome and the objective is not the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not to make our body, to make our mind, to make our heart, a body, a mind and a heart that is dedicated towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are, forget about starting the race, we have already lost from the beginning. We have already lost from the beginning. So he said that the second thing is that every single person's nafs is in competition with one another. We should at this time understand that there will be people who will be superior to us. There will be people who will be more educated than us. There will be people who are more intelligent, more wealthy than us. Submit yourself towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not fall into the competition of the nafs. But rather work hard to obtain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and you will find that you will be successful. So to understand that the nafs is always challenging with somebody else. The nafs is always vying with the competitor. The nafs is always trying to attain a position. Understand that that position can only be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remove the competition and the desire from the heart, from everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, very well, what is the third thing that you learned? He says that the third thing that I have come across in my 33 years with you is that people in their desires, in this dunya, they have one desire and that is to accumulate the dunya. As much dunya as they get, as much dunya as they have in their hands, then they are happy. We must understand that what we have learned from our Hazrat, the dunya is not the name of our cars or our wealth or our home or our family. Rather, dunya is that which distances us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In its very definition, dunya is the most abased thing, the most filthiest thing. Those things that separate us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things that disconnect us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the dunya. And this is what people are busy accumulating. This is what people are engaged in attaining and amassing. If we look at every single person throughout the world, what is the mark that the dunya has given of the success of an individual? How can we gauge the success of a person? And if you talk to that person, the person will say that success is in how much wealth you have accumulated, how many homes you have, how many cars you drive, which schools your children are educated in. Not for the sake of their education, but so that people can compete with others in society. But in reality, we understand that this dunya will run from us. That this dunya has no value. And in reality, this dunya will become a means of our abasement and destruction. Therefore, do not rush to accumulate the dunya. Rather, make your goal, as we mentioned earlier. And all of these points, if we look at them, if we look at all 8 points, in reality, they are one thing. That is to make one's maqsood, to make one's maqloob, to make one's end objective only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To cut oneself, to sever oneself from everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is possible in such a way that a person is in the throng of society, engaged and busy with everyone else. Khaja Saab rahmatullah alayhi says, Mashq-e tasawwur itni badi, jalwat mein bhi khalwat mujhko. Ya Allah, give me such a reality. Ya Allah, give me such awareness of you, that I may be in the throng of people. I may be in the busiest of all cities. I may be in the city center with millions around me, but at the end of the day, my heart is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's narrated about one buzurg, that this buzurg was in Makkah Mukarramah, in front of the Kaaba Musharrafah. And he was seeing one person who was clinging to the kiswa of the Kaaba, to the cloth of the Kaaba, and making dua, Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to certain of his awliya, Allah ta'ala opens certain hafa'if for them. So this person happened to look in the heart of this person. And he saw that although he was saying, Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, his haqiqat, just like my haqiqat, was that his heart was engulfed in nothing but dunya. His heart was engulfed in nothing but the temporary world. His heart was drowning in the seas of negligence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, the same buzurg left the masjid. And on the street, he saw some person selling vegetables. He's calling out, as the market people do, buy this, buy this, buy this, buy this. And he looked upon his heart, and he found that his heart was engaged in nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart was engulfed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as Khadir Sahib said, Mashq al-tasawwur itni bari. Ya Allah, may my practice be so effective. May my skill with you be so effective. Make the asar of and the effect of my zikr be so effective that in the face of being around everyone, I am disconnected from everyone. In the face of being around a million people, Ya Allah, at that time I am only connected with you. Mashq al-tasawwur itni bari. Jalwat me bi khalwat mujhko. That in the face of being around millions, I am in complete and total seclusion with you. And this is a maqam that oftentimes we can recite, we can talk about, we can speak, but it's very hard for us to realize. And these individuals have reached this position. They had reached this position that their heart was engulfed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their nafs, it would not compete in the acquiring of the dunya, but their nafs would compete in the acquiring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their desire was only, and their beloved thing was only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter he said, that what is the fourth thing you learned? He said that the fourth thing that I learned is that I looked at people, and I found that people try to distinguish themselves through various feats. People try to distinguish themselves through various feats. They would try and attain this maqam. They would try and attain this title. They would try and attain this position. And he saw that, he said that at the end of the day, whatever position that somebody attained, somebody else would overclip him. Somebody else would overtake him, and that position would be gone. Allah Ta'ala says, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above every knowledgeable person, there's someone who is even more knowledgeable. Above every powerful person, there's someone who has even more power. He says, therefore, I have made my distinction, and I have tried to distinguish myself through my taqwa and through my piety. Through abstaining from haram, from doing those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed. My beloved brothers, if we look at history, and we look at our akabir, and we look throughout the world, and we see the effects of the enemy, we see the tools of Dajjal, we see the ploys and the plots of shaitan, we will see that throughout the entirety of the ummah, people have been targeted, the ummah has been targeted, things have been removed. Just it was one point that we came across, we were speaking about with the students, that there came a time towards the end of the Uthmani Khilafah that to wear a turban, to wear a pagri, to wear an imamah in Istanbul was a crime that was punishable by 14 years imprisonment. 14 years imprisonment. So the actions of the enemy are very, very strong. And they are very subtle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ عَدُوٌ لَكُمْ فَاتَّقِدُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaytan is your clear enemy, take him as your enemy. He has marked you as his enemy. You mark him as your enemy. So we find that the tools and the ploys of shaitan, the ploys of Dajjal, the ploys of evil are very active. And the enemy does not cease. Shaitan does not rest in trying to move us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we find that in the face of all of the modernism, in the face of all of the evil, in the face of all of the destruction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with such akabir, with such ulama, with such mashayikh, that they have allowed that legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain 1400 years after. And we may oftentimes say this, but it's only after traveling throughout the world. And Allah Ta'ala has made it such that we have seen many places of the world and interacted with many other types of Muslims. But it will only give you solace that Allah Ta'ala has given us a connection with the mashayikh of Diyuband, that Allah Ta'ala has given us this ability that we are able to distinguish these things. Otherwise you will find that many, many, and we're not, as Hazrat has mentioned, it's not only our ulama who are the only sahih ulama. Na'udhu billah, we don't make this claim. But Allah Ta'ala has given us such an ability, and our mashayikh such an ability, that those things that we take for granted, those things that we understand, for example, this Islahi Majlis, that is about to commence from today, inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala accept with afiyah. We regard it as being something that is normal. Perhaps every year it occurs. Maybe during the COVID time, there was some lull in coming to the masjid. But now, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fadl and karam, people have come back. But in reality, if we look throughout the entirety of the world, my beloved brothers, this is something that is rare. This is something that is nadir. This is something that you will not see. And the fact that somebody is putting their effort, that somebody is worried about, that somebody cares about every individual's islah, is something that we must understand. And Allah Ta'ala has given us such mashayikh. And one thing is that we quote the mashayikh of the past, and we should do so. But Allah Ta'ala has given it in such a way that our deen and our mashayikh are alive today, alhamdulillah. That if we have solid, we need solace of the heart, Allah Ta'ala makes it such, especially for the brothers of Azadville, that it's just a few steps, and alhamdulillah, they can come and look upon the face of the mashayikh. They can come and look upon Hazrat. They can sit in majalis. They can take istifada from that. But there are many places in the world, my beloved brothers, where this is not the case. So to make qadr of what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us, this is the raz by which, this is the secret by which we will be able to understand this. And the nature of insan is that when something is in your hand, when something is in your presence, then you don't value it. Our Hazrat Wada Rahmatullah Alayhi, one bayan he mentioned, that Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab, and we know Mufti Shafi Sahab, Khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, what a position he had. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab, when he would have his weekly majlis in Darulun Karachi, he says, بَمُشْكِلْ سَ 15-20 لوگ بیٹھتے تھے. With difficulty, 15 to 20 people would attend the majlis of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab. And they said, when he passed away, the entirety of the city was full in preparation for his janazah. So when someone passes away, when a ni'mat is not there, when that ni'mat is gone from us, may Allah Ta'ala give our Hazrat a long, long life with afiyat. Say, Ameen, my beloved brothers. When a ni'mat is not there anymore, that is when we say, kashke, if only. If only we would be able to value. But the fact of the matter is now, Allah Ta'ala has brought us now in the present. And we can value it now. The way that we value it now is that we understand that this is how we change our life. We use this Islahi Majlis as a means by which we can change the way that we look in the world. But as a means to make our eye a proper eye, to make our heart a proper heart, to make our brain a proper brain. And then these 8 things that this Shaykh acquired, inshaAllah Ta'ala, they will come into us as well. It's mentioned, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi says, that Shaykh Abdul Ghani Sahab Phulphuri Rahimahullah, the Shaykh of our Shaykh, our Dada Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri Rahimahullah, that Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi would send him from Phulpur, which was a small isolated village, to Azamgarh. And he would send him and he would say that there is one abandoned masjid there. He would say, don't talk to anybody, don't give dawah to anybody, simply sit there and make ibadat. So he'd say every day he would walk 1 to 2 hours, go there, sit, make ibadat, make tilawat, make zikr, pray nafl namaz, and then come back. And he would take his own food. There was no intizam. He would take his own food, eat his own food, and come back. Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the effect of that individual's ibadat was such that the entirety of the village came into deen because of that. So it's possible that one single person's dua during this majlis, my beloved brothers, that our Hazrat, one ah that comes out in this majlis, can make our life a proper life. That we have been living our life like animals, like murghi bismil, a chicken whose head has been severed. We are running around trying to attain contentment from here and from there, trying to understand what is maqsood from here and from there, trying to understand what is important, what is real and what is not real, when in reality it is here in front of us, in this very majlis, by which our lives can change, by which our ahwal can change, by which our entire existence can change, and not just for us but our entire family. But it requires some effort, and it requires ikhlas, and it requires that we sit in with talab. Not that we are simply sitting for entertainment, but rather we are sitting for such a way and in such an intention that, Ya Allah, you change our ahwal, you change our condition, and you make us be those people whom you are pleased with. You make us be those people like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they were able to avail that one opportunity, and by means of that Allah Ta'ala gave them His pleasure. Like this particular Shaykh, Imam Hatim al-Afam, who, and may Allah Ta'ala forgive, I didn't give justice to the correct waqiyah correctly, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made him avail this opportunity, this suhbat of his Shaykh, by which he understood, and by which he changed his life, by which his life came into such an existence that it became a true life. And this is the fikr, if we see, of our mashayikh, and by extension, of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, that we see who gave life to this concept of Islam once again. That Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, that in this path, we must understand, and I will end on this, that isi raah mein usool maqsood nahi hai. Don't consider yourself that I have been now for 25, 30 years, 40 years, but I don't see change in my life. Continue to try, continue to strive, and we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate us. May Allah ta'ala accept from one and all, and we make dua that everyone please attend the entirety of the Islahi Jalsa Mishra.